the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The prophet Isaiah says, "In the wilderness, a voice cries out." In the wilderness, a voice cries out. "Prepare the way for the Lord." You know, wilderness is described simply as a wild, natural place, usually understood as not having many people. But pay particular attention to the sense of being wild, unruly place. You know, there are times when I kind of look at the world in which we live, the whole world in which we live, and I think, at times it appears we're in wilderness. You look at what disarray there is. You see all the confusion. You see all the hatred. You see all the misunderstandings. You see no war with one another. You see refugees flee for their lives. You see political discord, divided spirits, divided notions. We see people who are hungry, literally hungry. People have no place to lay their head, who are homeless. We see all these circumstances along with senseless killings in schools and in businesses and communities, and we wonder, what kind of wild place do we live? It is as if we live in the wilderness, wild, natural, but crazy. But it's in the wilderness that a voice cries out. And what does it cry? It cries, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord." What does it mean to prepare? How do we prepare for the Lord? Back then, it was that sense that the people of God had been in captivity, had been exiled from their homeland, the promised land of Palestine, and they had been taken by the Babylonians away. And it had been 200 years. 200 years they've been in captivity in Babylon. Conquered again by another nation, scattered all over, with near a hope that somehow they might get a chance to come back to their homeland. They didn't know if there ever would be an occasion in which they could come back and be where God had promised them. At times, forsaken, forlorn, discouraged, confused, they wondered, when would this all end? When would peace come? Not just any peace. Shalom. God's peace. Shalom, peace, which means wholeness, completeness, harmony, not just absence of strife. The sense in which truly we feel a sense of well-being inside ourselves and among all others in which we are in relationship to. That is the vision. That is the hope of what this Advent season speaks of. The one who is to come to herald the day when this kingdom will start dawning in our midst. That's what we hope for. That's what all these preparations are for in the church and in our homes. How do we prepare for the coming of the one who came so long ago, who keeps coming again and again and again to us, inviting us to experience the sense of wholeness, completeness that peace offers. Now, they describe it this way. You know, when you're traveling through life, are there a few curves in your life? Are there a few hills and valleys in your life? Are there a few occasions where you think you really are in the wilderness and it feels desolate and you feel alone and you're afraid and you're confused and you're uncertain what the future may bring? Have you ever had an occasion like that? I have. More than one. If you've lived any life at all, you know what it's like to be on this journey of faith which seems to take all kinds of twists and turns and unexpected ways, and we're not quite sure what to make of it. We're not sure what to do with it. But yet in the season, isn't it timely that the hope is that the Lord will come? The Lord will come. And all the hills will be made low, and all the valleys will be raised up, and it will be a level ground. And literally, like a parade, we can join our Lord who comes and follow him all the way back to the promised land of where God wants us ultimately all to be. And be in his presence forever, at peace, whole, complete. That is the promise. That is the hope of the gospel message. And Mark picks it up because it begins in Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the way Mark starts out is by talking about this crazy looking guy named John. He eats locusts and wild honey. Wears camel's hair. Crazy looking guy. But you know, what he did was he prepared the way of the Lord, because the first thing he asked everyone is, he called them to repentance. He called them to turn away from the direction their life was going, to turn around, which is what repentance means, and begin heading in the right direction. And he did that by baptizing them in water to help them recognize that they are God's. They are God's own. And that God wants them to turn around, to turn their life around, and begin to walk the life that God wants us to walk. And God will be with us in that walk. But he knew he wasn't the one. He wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't the Savior. He was preparing the way for the one who is to come, which was Jesus, born in Bethlehem so long ago. That's the one who came and showed us what it means to live a life. Showed us what a miraculous person God is and how God works in our lives in strange and unusual ways. It is that God who was heralded in Jesus coming to earth. And then there's the promise that when this life is over, there's going to be a life everlasting with God. We're all going to be on the road that's level to make our way to the promised land, where then we'll all gather around this table in the kingdom of God and share a special feast and meal together. That's the mission. That's the hope. And it is one that should help us in our times of desolation, in our times of confusion, in our times of wandering away, to know that God continually calls us back. Repent. Turn around. Come back to me. For with me is abundant life. And with me is life everlasting. For me, there is hope. For me, there is peace. Shalom. Now, here's the part of the gospel that's really a little bit more challenging. Remember those bracelets so long ago that said WWJD? What was that about? What would Jesus do? Gives that whole sense that, you know, whatever situation we're in, we need to look and say, well, I know what I'd like to do. But what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? How would he approach this? As a guiding principle for us. Now, what's challenging about that is, this is the person who came, lived his life in service 3 years, and then didn't just die, was crucified and died and was buried. You know, not about you, but I remember being called to ministry, and I remember saying, you know, I'm going to be like Jesus. Until I read the story clear enough and realized that he served 3 years, and his career ended early. He received no pension. Okay? All that he worked on the carpentry, any money he put aside, did him no good because 3 years later he was gone. So, do you want to follow Jesus? It's a question I have to ask myself. Do I really want to follow Jesus? Because to follow Jesus may not end well sometimes for me. Yet, where it ends is with God. I'm never abandoned. God is always present with me. Here he is. And he will take me home. He will care for me along life's way. And then when life comes to an end, he will gather me up and take me home to the bosom of himself, where I will be forever. Feeling his love, joy, his peace. So is it worth it to follow him? I hope so. Because I think that's the invitation for all of us. At one point or another, we may have professed, I believe Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Do you? And if you do, then what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do what he did? What would Jesus do means what then should I do? Individually, collectively, we need to always present ourselves with, what would Jesus do? What is God calling us to do as individuals and as a community of faith and as a larger community of faith worldwide? It is not an easy journey. It has its twists and turns and ups and downs. But the thing that is true, that when we have God on our side, there's a level plan. A level path and a clear path on the narrow that says, go this way. Go this way. Because I will ever always be with you. For me, that's good news. In this season of turmoil and wilderness, that is good tidings. Good tidings to all in the name of Jesus Christ. We trust in God,
in Jesus, our Father, in sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race.